little bit sweaty. Sorry, gear.
It's all right. It's radio, Bell. Don't worry about it.
No one cares. Ha ha.
Nobody cares. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdal. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today make sense on this Monday is what we're doing.
That's right. I'm Molly Wood. Thanks for joining us. It is our newly rebranded What Did We Miss Monday.
Brand is everything.
We like to keep
Brand
it fresh.
Is everything.
Keep it fresh, peeps.
Yep. So the way this is going to work is we'll do a usual news fix, the big item of the day, and then some random things that all y'all might have seen or might not have that caught our eye, and then we'll move briskly on. How about that? How about that?
Yeah.
Does that work?
We're trying out a new strategy for What Did We Miss Monday. Instead of a big old long list of stuff, we have agreed on a central news fix, and then we'll give you some headlines. Look at us.
Right. So by unanimous consent, the big news today is this story that sort of leaked a little bit yesterday and then became a little more firm today, that Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury and former Fed chair, and also, by the way, if you listen to Dessa on Marketplace about 2 months ago, 90 days ago, chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, Yellen has apparently come out within the White House for Jay Powell keeping his job as the Fed chair. And about that, two things. Number one, of course she did. Come on. He's doing exactly what she would have done monetary policy-wise through this entire thing, right? Kept interest rates low, worried about the bottom half of the income spectrum, all of that stuff. That's number one. Number two, and the reason I bring it up is that there's going to be some dissent. There appears to be some discontent within the Democratic Party. Shocking, I know. But specifically this time about Jay Powell. Sorry. Oh, come on. Dems are like
them fighting with each other, eating their young like they do. Get right out of this town.
But apparently some progressive groups are not happy that apparently Jay Powell is going to keep his job because they want the Federal Reserve to be more tight with banking regulation. The Fed is one of the five or six federal banking regulators, along with the Comptroller of the Currency and Department of Treasury and a bunch of others. And they want somebody who's going to be more strict with banks. And honestly, if those groups are upset that, oh my goodness, now Janet Yellen's coming out and Jay Powell's going to keep his job, they just haven't been paying attention because Yellen was always going to be for him. And if you want stricter banking regulation, the Fed is not the place to start, right? The Fed has its hands full with its dual mandate of monetary policy and keeping interest rates steady and full employment. And, you know, there's a vice chair for regulation and he does a bunch of stuff, but the Fed's got other fish to fry. That's my 2 cents. That's where I am.
I mean, I guess I would say you could potentially still ask for both. It has obviously been a big 18 months in terms of keeping things on the tracks. And I think everybody agrees that Powell has done that. That doesn't mean that going forward, progressives can't still, or anybody, frankly, for that matter, who cares about the health of our financial system, because we've seen what happens when banks just do whatever they want. We could still ask for reasonable regulation on banks. And one of the other things that some progressives complain about, and in fact, the nonpartisan think tank Better Markets put this report out that said, among other criticisms, including the regulations for big banks, that Powell has not done a good job of pushing for the recognition of the financial risk that climate change proposes.
Oh, that's totally fair. That's 1,000% fair. You betcha. The Fed's been
so this think tank was basically like,
change. Yeah,
it's mixed. You know, the Fed could, in fact, speaking of banking regulations, the Fed could be forcing banks to consider climate change as a huge financial risk, which it is. So I think it's still – nobody's trying to sit here and say that Jerome Powell is without critique. However, right. Agreed that, like, he seems like kind of a slam dunk. I don't know what would cause him to get the boot at this late stage.
Nothing.
We should say the reason that everybody's talking about Jerome Powell this week is because the virtual Jackson Hole Money Summit – is happening. And so he's been.
Yes.
He's like going to be speaking. Yes. They're meeting later this week or something like that. What's the
deal? Yeah, he's got a big speech on Friday. Yeah, he's got a big speech Friday at which he is expected to, but may not because it's virtual and thus we'll have a little bit less oomph. I don't know. Talk about the Fed cutting back on its bond buying program. But, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I honestly don't know what he's going to do. So, yeah. So there you go.
Let's just say it's like Christmas in Thailand. Christmas in Kyland.
That's right. It's a little bit, you know, there's some criminology going on here with the Fed these days. So that's the big news item. But there are others. Including one that dropped Friday, late Friday, that one of my kids told me about. And I was like, seriously, this Prop 22 thing? I was like, holy cow, how did I not see that before you did?
I missed that until today, which is bananas. Mm. So apparently on Friday, good job, your kids. Prop 22, for those who are not familiar, here in California is the exemption that said that Uber and Lyft and DoorDash and other companies like that wouldn't have to pay their employees, wouldn't have to pay their drivers as employees. They'd be exempt from California's big law that said that gig workers have to be treated as employees. And this was like, I mean, these companies spent millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah. 200 millions of dollars. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, it was $200 million.
Yeah, and then a judge just came out and was like, oh, yeah, no, that's totally unconstitutional. Sorry, Prop 22, dead, which will be a very big deal going forward.
Big deal. Huge deal. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What else?
All right, headlines, shall we? No, you go ahead. You're on a roll. Go.
I have a big pile. I mean, I just am fascinated by the ongoing expulsion of sex from the internet. Frankly, OnlyFans, after Tumblr became the latest app to announce that it's going to basically get rid of not safe for work or adult content on its platform, which shocked everyone because, like Tumblr, that's kind of all they have on that platform. And it just is, I mean, look, if the only sex that anybody can ever find on the internet is either nothing, scrubbed clean, puritanical, weird, sanitized universe of Facebook, which doesn't have any nipples at all unless they're Bieber's, or, you know, whatever it is that Apple's doing with its platform. And there's nothing in between that and porn. That's not good for people. That's not good for, like, kids who want to know things about sex and want to understand it. Healthy sex is very different from porn. And this weird sort of puritanical nature of the internet, just like erasing all sex, is strange and frankly bad for sex.
We are deeply, deeply puritanical. You know? We just are. Yeah.
Guns, fine. Anyway. Sex. No.
That's right. Okay, a couple of quickies for me, unrelated to sex at all. Andrew Cuomo leaves office tonight at 11:59 New York time, and the lieutenant governor takes over. She's a she, which is great. First time in New York's history that they've had a woman governor. But Cuomo gave a farewell speech today in which he did everything but blame the victim. It was so unbelievable. He was talking about a media frenzy and political pressure and all of this stuff, like trying to not take responsibility for his actions still. And it's amazing to me that, anyway, you should just have a look at that speech. It was kind of gross.
Also an unrelated. Missed, apparently he tried to leave his dog there. So dead to me.
He has this dog named Captain. So Cuomo's been living like with one of his sisters or something. And in the governor's mansion, there was a dog named Captain that Cuomo's had since 2018. And apparently he's nipped a couple of people. And Cuomo basically said to his staffers, hey, anybody want a dog?
Yeah. What? Yeah.
So there was that.
So much so like
there was that.
No. Dunzo with that guy. Dunzo.
Yep. He's gone. So put this one on your calendar. Sometime in the next week or 10 days, there's a trial that's going to start, which is a little bit blast from the past. Anybody remember Theranos and Elizabeth Holmes, who did the whole black turtleneck Steve Jobs thing, but had this magical gizmo that she said would detect everything you need from a blood test from one drop of blood from your fingertip? Turned out to be a sham. Turned out to be just not at all true. She was misleading investors. That is the accusation. It's bad, bad stuff. John, what's his name from the Wall Street Journal? What's his name? John somebody. Anyway, I'll look it up while I'm talking. Anyway, her trial for all this stuff starts this week, and it's going to be a humdinger. And so just look out for articles about that one. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. That's going to be good TV.
It's going to be so good. John Carreyrou from the Wall Street Journal.
Carreyrou, right. I know. I was I'm seeing some weird word in my mind.
It's something very hard to say.
Real quick COVID roundup before we get to the happy stuff. One, Texas won't enforce Governor Abbott's mask mandate ban for now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As people in that state and other states start to go, this is an absolute absurdity to prevent the thing that keeps people alive when so many are dying. And then I would like to present to you a study in contrasts. Over the summer, two events happened. One, I read these headlines and I actually thought that they were reposts from last year. The Sturgis motorcycle rally went forth in South Dakota again and was evidently, according to the Daily Beast and other reporting, full of people who were proudly unvaccinated and unmasked. And again, there has been a huge uptick in cases in South Dakota, which is now seeing something like 200 cases a day. By some New York Times numbers that I looked at earlier today, its case count was up 545%. And then let's not forget that Sturgis people, of course, come from all over the country. So there's that.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there was Lollapalooza, and about, I don't know, they think 500,000 to 700,000 people attended Sturgis. Similarly, about 400,000 people attended Lollapalooza in Chicago, and that event required proof of vaccination. They do think they maybe had about 88% of people vaccinated at Lollapalooza. So far, only 200 cases total have been linked to Lollapalooza. And by a metric of 4 to 1, the people who tested positive are likely to be unvaccinated.
Yeah, of course.
Vaccines work.
All right, Charlton, hook us up. All right, go ahead.
Even though I secretly don't think pandas are real and I think they're advanced animatronic experiments that were created just to entertain us with their cuteness, because nothing could possibly be this cute, it totally freaking works. And the miracle panda that was born at Smithsonian's National Zoo last year is now 1 year old. Wow. And they celebrated with a live stream with fruitsicle cakes for the baby panda and his parents.
That's so cool.
The greatest, the best video ever.
That's awesome.
It's so cute.
That's awesome. Well, look at that. She's so tiny. I don't even know if it's a she. It's a he. Sorry, it's a he. It's a he.
So freaking cute.
Xiao Qiji. Nice. Look at a tiny little panda.
See, it's getting even better now. Kai's going to say all the names with the proper accent. I love it.
Yeah, I am not. That was it. That was just the one off. Okay, so here's mine, and it was a tweet this morning from the Food and Drug Administration. Not this morning. It was a couple of days ago, actually. I didn't see it till this morning. The US FDA, right? Food and Drug Administration, official government organization, tweets out the other day, this is a quote, "You are not a horse. You are not a cow. Seriously, y'all, stop it." Attached to an article in which it says, "Ivermectin, the drug that a lot of people have been taking to try to get rid of COVID, even though it's like a horse tranquilizer or something. It's like a dewormer, right? Isn't that the deal?" Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't take horse and cow medications to cure this disease. Get a shot. Get the vaccine. Seriously, y'all. You're not a horse. You're not a cow.
So that I don't
I laughed out loud.
The coronavirus is not a worm. Like, you could play this game all day.
All day.
Good
All
God
day.
Almighty. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So,
stupidest timeline.
There you go.
We're ahead of the timeline for idiocracy.
I cannot.
Oh, yeah. All right, that is it for today before we actually cry. Tomorrow, I'm so excited about this. We're going to take a deep dive on climate change investments and whether companies actually are starting to see solving climate change as a real business opportunity. See our previous comments, Jerome Powell. Actually, is this the shift we need to make real progress against the climate crisis? Do not miss it. It's going to be a good show.
It is one of many shifts we need, but this is a biggie. For now, though, send your comments, questions, makemesmart@marketplace.org is where you get us. Or you can call us, leave us a voice memo. Our number is 508-827-6278, 508-UB-SMART. Dial those numbers, tell us what you want to tell us, and then you can go on about your merry way. How about that?
How about that?
I love how Charlton waits till the bitter end before he fires that music, man.
He's letting you drag it out.
Make Me Smart, which is this podcast, is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Today's program was engineered to the nanosecond by Charlton Thorne.
To the nanosecond. Donna Tam is back in charge this week. It's great to have her back in the chair while Bridget's on vacay. The executive director of On Demand is Satara Nieves. I want a giant fruitsicle cake for my next birthday.
That could probably be.
I mean, they come on. Pandas cannot be real. Look at them. Derp a derp. Yoink.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.